and we are joined on the phone now by Mike Day. He's a senior vice president at the Science Museum of Minnesota, and last week a new exhibit opened there called Real Pirates, the Untold Story of the Whydah from Slave Ship to Pirate Ship. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Anne. Good to be with you this evening.
Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Well, I was so interested when I saw this about this exhibit because it just sounds like an absolute treasure. It sounds like it's the only authenticated pirate shipwreck in U.S. waters, right?
Absolutely. And what it means then that we have on display are artifacts from this ship, the Whydah, that crashed off the coast of New England in 1717, which is to say we have the only true pirate treasure that has ever been found. This is a one-of-a-kind exhibition, and now it's here in Minnesota.
That's just so great. So it's unique for that reason. What kinds of things can people see when they go to see it?
Well, when we're talking about a pirate exhibit, we're talking about the classic age of piracy, Caribbean pirates, which ran from about 1690 to 1730. And the ship, the Whydah, was existed right in the middle of that. As I say, it crashed in 1717. So you're going to see in this exhibition exactly what you'd expect to see from a pirate ship. You're going to see guns and cannons and cutlasses and grenades and pieces of eight, and as they say, the only true pirate treasure that has ever been found.
So pieces of eight, that's money, right?
Yeah, the origin of pieces of eight, let's remember that we're talking about the New World here. The Spanish were the first Europeans to colonize, so even as you get into the 1700s, the Spanish currency was a standard form of currency. Spanish coins were called reals. They were in denominations by weight of 2 or 4 or 8 reals. So if you had an 8 real coin and you wanted to conduct some economy in single reals, you would actually cut the coin into 8 pieces, thus the origin of the expression pieces of 8.
That is so good to know. And, you know, real is a great Scrabble word. I've used it, but I wasn't really sure what it meant. So thank you for that. Mike, how was this ship wasn't found that long ago?
Well, what's interesting about this story is let's go back and talk about the origin
of
the ship. The Whydah was built in England, and it traveled what was known as the Trade Triangle. The first leg of that triangle was from Europe to West Africa. This ship was built as a slave ship. So on its maiden voyage, it picked up slaves on the west coast of Africa and then made the second leg of that triangle to the New World. The Whydah actually sold just more than 300 slaves in Jamaica. It was then loaded with gold and all sorts of raw materials such as sugar cane. It was headed back to England on the last leg of that trade triangle. When off the coast of Cuba, it was followed for 3 days by a pirate ship that was captained by Black Sam Bellamy. He took over the Whydah. He didn't just rob the Whydah, since the Whydah was new. Mm-hmm. It was state-of-the-art. It had a very low draft. Black Sam Bellamy and his crew actually then made the Whydah their maiden ship in their fleet. They went on and conducted 50 successful raids of other ships. And when they were traveling up to New England, they got caught in this storm in 1717. The ship wrecked. Almost all the pirates were lost. The treasure was lost. Things were buried under 10 feet of sand. And there they lay for almost 300 years until an underwater explorer from Cape Cod, Barry Clifford, in the 1980s, went in search of the Whydah, and he found it. And if anybody grew up in Cape Cod, every family had their own variation of the story of the Whydah. Barry Clifford says that in his family, the story was told by his Uncle Bill, and family members would often refer to him as Uncle Bull. They weren't sure if the Whydah story was even true, and Barry Clifford was so inspired by his uncle's stories that he said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find the Whydah. He didn't just go out onto the ocean and search. He actually first went in search of good materials, written history, source material that would lead him to the Whydah. And he uncovered some good historical documents. He went out, They did their first dive, found nothing, and when they started to dig in the sand, they then began to discover artifacts. And what's interesting is when Barry Clifford started to find things and said he discovered the Whydah, people still didn't believe it. He was that he uncovered the bell of the Whydah. There on the bell it said Whydah Galley, 1715, the year it was built, and that bell is part of this exhibition now at the Science Museum.
Great. What a great story. Well, and I want to get to the artifacts and so forth in a minute, but first of all, you mentioned this was a state-of-the-art ship, so what was a state-of-the-art ship in 1715 like?
It was 300 feet long. It had three huge masts. It had 18 cannons. Since it was a slave ship, it carried a lot of human cargo and had room for a large crew. The key was it was fast, and it could maneuver well, and it could sail in shallow water. And there again is why Black Sam Bellamy said, this now is going to become my flagship.
You mentioned the bell. That's in the exhibit, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And pieces of eight. Tell us a little bit about what other things are there.
Well, I have to tell you, one of the really exciting things about the Real Pirates exhibit at the Science Museum is you're not only going to see the artifacts, you're not only going to hear the story of how this was originally a slave ship and then became a pirate ship, you are actually going to meet real pirates. The Science Museum of Minnesota was the first museum in the world to bring a theater troupe onto its staff. This dates back 40 years ago, and we have been using theater in our public programming ever since. So in the case of this exhibition, which is this incredible history, we have tapped upon the great cadre of acting talent in Minnesota. We have hired actors and actresses. We've done extensive research so that when you come into this exhibition, you're going to meet real pirates. This is not pirate movie fantasy. You know, this is the authentic and fascinating story of real pirates. So the pirates you meet are the actual pirates, many of which sailed on the Whydah or pirates that sailed the Caribbean at the time. And so you're going to get a chance to talk to them and learn their history and see the artifacts as they you know, bring out their pistols and such.
That's a really fun way to tell a story. And I understand that you're going to be that the exhibit focuses on four of the crew members.
Yeah, it focuses on four of the key crew members, including the captain. And one of the most interesting crew members is young John King, who was actually just 11-year-old. And when Barry Clifford has been excavating the Whydah, it's work that continues today, they did find a shoe with a stocking and a leg bone, and they've done the analysis of this and have determined this is a boy's, you know, leg, which is to say we have remnants of John King. We know his story because there were survivors of this wreck, so there is written history of many of these crew members. And so you're going to meet, he's one of our actors, you're going to meet John King when you come into this exhibition.
That's great. What is his story?
Well, his story is fascinating because John King, his father had passed away. And his mother was about to remarry a plantation owner in the Caribbean. And John did not see that he wanted to be the stepchild of this man. He and his mother and some of their slaves were sailing on a ship that was taken over by Black Sam Bellamy. And if you were on a ship that was taken over, you were offered the opportunity to join the pirates, to go on the account, as they said. And young John King told his mother he was leaving her and he was going to become a pirate, and that's exactly what he did.
11 years old, that's amazing.
Yeah, the pirate code of ethics was fascinating. The pirate society was a democratic society. As a matter of fact, Black Sam Bellamy had been a crew member on another ship. It was captained by a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Hornigal, who was also an Englishman like Sam Bellamy. Captain Hornigold would not raid English ships. Sam Bellamy thought that they should be doing that. He challenged the captain, and then the crew members took a vote, and they elected Black Sam as their new captain.
Wow.
The pirate crews all shared equally in the fortunes, and pirate crews were made up of a very diverse population. As a matter of fact, it was estimated that Black Sam's crew on the Widow was actually made up of 40% former slaves. So, yeah, you had young boys, you had Native Americans, you had African Americans, you had Englishmen. And you know, they think that when pirates, when the age of piracy kind of ended or dwindled in the mid-1700s, a lot of these pirates had retired with great wealth into New England. And they really think that pirates and their code of ethics became a foundation for, of course, the democracy that was the foundation of the United States.
Now, that's really interesting, Mike, because I've been watching the John Adams series on Netflix, and somehow pirates had not come to mind yet.
Right. But there they were. The whole story of the Widow is remarkable. As I said, they had conducted 50 successful raids when their ship then went down. And so the ship was loaded with all of this booty that had been collected from ships from all over, you know, what was the center of economy, the Atlantic Ocean, the Caribbean. And so we find things such as gold artwork from West Africa. We find gold that had been mined in Bolivia. We find coins that have Ferdinand and Isabella on them.
Oh.
Say the Widow is a time capsule. It tells us a great deal about the history of the period, because we now have discovered this ship.
Right. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Mike Day. He's Senior Vice President at the Science Museum of Minnesota in St. Paul, and their new exhibit, Real Pirates, just opened, and he's telling us all about it. Well, John, or Mike, what is your favorite artifact? Sounds like you're very familiar with it. So do you have a favorite in this particular exhibit?
I love the pistol. And when you see them, you recognize that they really are pieces of art. You have to remember that pirates were dandies. They liked to dress up. They liked to display their wealth, so that they really prized good pistols that had been manufactured with a great deal of craftsmanship. And so you're going to see that exhibited here in the Real Pirates exhibit. And as you look at these pistols, you have to remember they were single shot. So when a pirate crew might raid another ship, you could only get one shot off, so that they would actually, they would hang two pistols around their neck on a scarf. They'd have two in their belt, one in their hand, one in the back of their belt, and so they'd be actually carrying six of them at one time. And if they had fired them all, if you look carefully in this exhibit at the butt end of the handle of these pistols, you're going to start to see, oh, they would then turn them over and actually use them as a club.
Oh.
So there's an incredible ornateness. There's an incredible history, and there's incredible craftsmanship. Again, artifacts that have never been found anywhere else.
That is so exciting. And when we get a little further, I want to ask you for all the contact information. I assume this is available to be seen every single day?
Yes, we are open Tuesday through Sunday, and we're also open on Thursday through Saturday nights. It's real easy to find out more information. We even have a parent's guide that can assist parents in planning their trip to make it the most educational trip with families. That's all found on the Science Museum's website, and our address is smm.org.
Okay.
SMM for Science Museum Minnesota.
Great. Well, I want to shift gears here a little bit and ask you, you mentioned that the Science Museum was the first to use a theater troupe.
Yes.
40 years ago, and I know that you've been with the museum for 30 years.
Yes, ma'am.
So I would like to know, how has running a museum and mounting an exhibit changed over those 30 years? It has to be huge.
Yeah, I think we sort of start to set a standard with each exhibition, and so now it's a question of how do you surpass that exhibition. We have a great building in downtown St. Paul. It's got all of the infrastructure for hosting exhibits like this, which we didn't have in our previous locations. Of course, we've got the Omni Theater, where you don't just watch a movie, you're literally sitting inside it. And we've got this fabulous film called Under the Sea that's running with the Real Pirates exhibit. I like to think of myself something as a big game hunter. You know, a big game hunter would go out and capture prey and bring it back for the tribe. So that's been the exciting part of my job, is we got to go out and we have to find these stories these exhibitions, and we really do travel the world and looking for, you know, what is going to be the next great thing that we can bring to Minnesota and share with our visitors.
Mm-hmm. And Mike, why is it important that the Science Museum do that?
Well, you know, again, we are all about authenticity. I have to accent once more that in this Real Pirates exhibit, this is not pirate movie fantasy. You know, this is the authentic and fascinating story of real pirates. These are the real artifacts. I have seen this exhibition in five cities before we brought it to Minnesota. We follow exhibitions like this around because we want to see how every museum is displaying them and programming them so that we can build upon, you know, the way people have done things before. And I have to tell you, I took my nephew on a trip to Colorado so that I could see this exhibit at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science. I didn't tell my nephew that, you know, I was on a working trip, that he was my test market of one, and that if he didn't like the exhibit, that, you know, it wouldn't be coming to Minnesota. But what was really confirmation for me, and it accents who we are at the Science Museum, is he said to me without any prompting the next day, he said, "Uncle Mike, I did not know there were real pirates."
Wow.
That was the confirmation. And that should be no surprise. An 11-year-old boy in Minnesota, what has been his exposure to pirates? It's been fictional pirates. It has been the Pirates of the Caribbean. And that's one of the great things we also do in this exhibit is we separate fiction and fantasy from the real and authentic history.
That's great. Well, it was really fun to talk to you about this. Anything else you want our listeners to know before we have to let you go?
One thing about that fiction, let me just tell you that pirates didn't say "arr."
Oh, shoot!
No, really?
I hate to tell everybody that. And actually, a lot of these fictional aspects of pirates date back to the book Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson from 1883. And it was actually the Disney version of that movie in 1950, Treasure Island, where we first heard a pirate who said "arr."
I'm crushed.
I would say you've totally devastated my co-host. Oh, that's great. Well, can I ask you one joke and see if you know it?
I think I've heard all the pirate jokes, but I'm ready.
All right. Well, I want to hear you answer it then. How much does a pirate pay to get his ears pierced?
Ooh, how much does a pirate pay to get his ears pierced?
A buccaneer.
A buccaneer. Well done.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It sounds like a great exhibit, and I hope people can get down there to see it. And how long does it go through?
The exhibition will be at the Science Museum in St. Paul all spring and summer, right through Labor Day.
Okay, that's great. Well, thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ann.
Okay, good night.